Welcome, everybody. This is Corinne, and welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I'm so grateful we've all shown up to share this time together. Let's begin as we usually do and come into silence. And just begin by taking a couple of mindful deep breaths, simply releasing what we've been doing, things that we've been thinking about, planning, remembering, any busyness that we've been engaged in with the world, just being willing to just release it. And being willing to open a space in our hearts and our minds for truth to return. We need not defend against it. We welcome it. We can come with wholly empty hands unto God, unto Spirit. And being willing to release our perceptions, our beliefs, in exchange, we're given everything. We're given our remembrance, our remembering of truth, our remembering of reality. Taking a nice mindful breath in and out. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So with the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. All right. So picking up where we left off last week, we're on page 503 of the Sparkle, second to last paragraph. It begins with, "Perhaps you do not see the need." That corresponds to the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, chapter 21, part 3, paragraph 20. In the FIP, that is chapter 21, part 2, paragraph number 6. "Perhaps you do not see the need" is how it begins. And last but not least, Circle of Atonement edition is page 664, first full paragraph at the top of the page. Alrighty. So we've been reading, just to briefly recap, we've been reading this section called The Responsibility for Sight. In the CE, it's called The Power of Decision. And we've sort of been touching on the idea of extreme responsibility, taking responsibility that everything we think that happens to us, that we see, it's somehow coming from our sleeping split mind, from the ego's script. And the quote that I've shared so many times, which is not in this section, but which relates, is how the Course teaches that the secret of salvation is but this: you're doing this unto yourself, meaning we're the ones dreaming this dream of separation. And we have the power to choose again in any moment to wake up to the truth of who we are. So let's pick up where we left off. "Perhaps you do not see the need for you to give this little offering." And just to recap, this little offering, if you go back a couple of paragraphs, this little gift is us offering to the Holy Spirit our willingness to let Holy Spirit choose for God for us. We don't know how to choose for God. We're letting Holy Spirit choose for God for us. So again, "Perhaps you do not see the need for you to give this little gift," excuse me, let's just say that again. "Perhaps you do not see the need for you to give this little offering. Look closer then at what it is, and very simply see in it the whole exchange of separation for salvation. All that the ego is an idea that it is possible that things should happen to the Son of God without his will, and thus without the will of his Creator, whose will cannot be separate from his own. I feel moved to read another paragraph. This is the Son of God's replacement for his will, a mad revolt against what must forever be. This is a statement that he has the power to make God powerless, and so to take it for himself and leave himself without what God has willed for him. This is the mad idea you have enshrined upon your altars and which you worship. And anything which threatens this seems to attack your faith, for here it is invested. Think not that you are faithless, for your belief and trust in this is strong indeed. And I'll pause there. So our little willingness, our willingness to let Holy Spirit choose for God for us, is the whole exchange of separation for salvation. Again, Holy Spirit is outside of the closed, fearful loop of the ego's thought system, and so it's that which helps us wake up to the truth that we never left. I like here how it says in this first paragraph we read, all that the ego is an idea that it is possible that things should happen to the Son of God without his will, and thus without the will of his Creator. So it's this idea of being completely independent from God. The ego is the idea of being completely independent of God. And it, I mean, it goes a little bit further than that. The Course talks about how we, you know, believe that we killed God to make the, to pull off this whole ego thing, which of course is absolutely insane. But it goes on to say in the second paragraph that the Son of God's, our replacement for God's will is this tiny mad idea. This ego is what we're choosing instead of God. It's our replacement for God's will. It says this is the statement that he has the power to make God powerless, and so to take it for himself and leave him without what God was, has willed for him. What comes up for me in this sentence is this idea that we could create ourselves. I think it's coming up in this section where we're going to come back to this idea that we did not make ourselves. We made the world, and we did not make ourselves, and that's important for us to be willing to open to that as an idea, to acknowledge instead that we were created by God, remain so, and that what we've made and see with the body's eyes is actually, this isn't actually us. This isn't actually the real world that God created. I think I'm going to stop. I'll say one more thing, and then I'll stop. This is the mad idea you have enshrined upon your altars and which you worship. And anything which threatens this seems to attack your faith, for here it is invested. So we can think about how we've put the idea of the ego on our inner altar instead of leading that altar open for truth to flow in, instead of leading that altar open for Holy Spirit. We've instead put, you know, the things that we worship, our idols, in place of that. And there I will we'll pause. Does anybody have anything coming up so far? Any questions, comments, or insights?
I wonder, it's Igor, yes. Hello, everyone. I wonder if Matt is here today.
No.
Okay. No?
Nope.
Okay. Because this sentence 4, paragraph 6, all that the ego is an idea that it is possible that things could happen to the Son of God without his will. So the ego is an idea that I am a victim, right? This workbook lesson number 31 again, that I can be a victim of this world. So I will say it again, you know, those Las Vegas shootings that Matt mentioned last week, or rapings, or whatever it is you think that happened to you and or to anyone else whom you feel sorry for, it still applies to all of that, you see, because if we are the victims, because this sentence continues, and thus, without the will of his creator, right? So basically, this is the attack on God. This is the insult on God that we keep. You know, because if I'm a victim, if I am hurt by someone else outside of me, then it must be God. You see, it must be God who did this to me, or it must happen, at least it must happen, you know, without God preventing it. You see? So, me, including a lot of course students, have reached the point that their depression, you know, before we find the course, a lot of people have reached this point where when they realize how much they hate God for all of the craziness in this world, for Las Vegas shootings, for rapings, for murders and stuff like that. You see? And so we hate God. We realize that we hate God. And that's when I found the course, where I read in workbook number 14 that God did not create this world. See? So, and it was a huge relief for me that, so God is not an idiot. God has nothing to do with this world. So good. But it means that, that I am insane. I am an idiot. See? So this is the question. One of us is an idiot, me or God.
Thank you. Join the club.
Thank you, Igor. Okay, let's move on. Or actually, anybody have any other questions or comments?
I think it comes down to...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Was that Homira?
Yeah,
Homira, then Paula.
Yeah, that's Paula. Yeah. Oh, you want me to go first? Okay. Yeah, so I was just listening to what you read, Corinne, and then what Igor just said about, if he used the example of the mass shooting in Las Vegas and not looking at victims. And I've actually been going through something personal within my own family. I've shared about it before, my brother's addiction and possible mental illness and how it's manifesting sort of in our lives. And it's gotten to a really bad place, and it's really difficult for me not to either see myself as really, really guilty, like I am the victimizer, or as the victim or him. And, you know, I've been going to the Holy Spirit, and I have to say I have made progress in that. It hasn't for the first time, even though it's a pretty, at least seemingly, pretty severe situation right now. It hasn't taken me down to the depths of depression that it used to take me. But I am struggling with it still, and I'll just give you a brief update of what's been going on. So he, as I said, he uses speed, and I don't know if it's bipolar or depression with psychosis, but anyway, because of the speed, he has absolute paranoia that everybody is against him, you know, that he's being persecuted. And we had to take some really horrible, seemingly horrible steps this past week. When I say we, I meant my mother and myself. He lives in a 4-unit complex that my mother owns, and he's been living there for, you know, the past, 20 years. And over the past 6 years, although he's always really struggled with addiction, but because of this new drug that came into his life about 6 years ago, things have increasingly gotten worse. And so we've lost tenant after tenant, and that's how my mom mostly pays for my dad's care, who is, you know, sort of handicapped from strokes that he's had. And so it's affected the income that comes in because either tenants leave or sue. And so this time around, I guess he's gotten into it with one of the tenants, and they all got together and basically wrote us this huge, like 6-7-page letter and saying, you know, that we're at fault because, and they're absolutely right, you know, that, you know, we didn't warn them that someone like him was living there, and that, you know, their peace is threatened, And so, you know, I said, Mom, let's just completely go in this defenseless, because they're absolutely right. We met with all three of them, that sat down. They said, well, we want to break our lease from, you know, and do it month to month. And then we're all going to get a restraining order. And the third is, we really want you to evict him. We don't want him to live there anymore. And honestly, it's just become horrendous. Like, the police are being called almost daily to go to the
oh, wow.
unit by them. I mean, it's really bad. And so she took action, you know, we called a lawyer and we took action and we, you know, put the eviction papers, and I guess they're on the door. So one of the tenants called me and said, yeah, I guess they had served them or they're on the door. But when I thought about that, the tremendous amount of guilt, and his own ideas of me being persecuted are really coming true. And in fact, one of the tenants said, this is like, you know, when I initially came, we were friendly, and I feel so guilty because I feel like on some level I am now doing that. I'm exactly doing what he thinks in his delusions and illusions, you know. And so it's like, you know, the thoughts come in of, oh my God, he's going to become homeless, which he's disappeared since last night. His car is there. We don't know where he is. What's going to happen to him if he, you know, dies, at least, you know, here. I know, how am I going to deal with that? Just all of this craziness. And what if he comes back? Mm-hmm. It does something. I mean, it's just, so I've been trying to just kind of turn it over to the Holy Spirit, turn him over to the Holy Spirit, keep affirming that, you know, he is not his body. He is not his behavior. I'm not my body. I'm not my behavior. We're not doing this to hurt him. This is what it's led to. And I'm trying to just keep that kind of mindset. But I have to admit that I am not where you guys are at. I am still struggling with not identifying mm-hmm. with the body, not identifying as a victim or him as, mm-hmm. you know. And so, you know, I just wanted to share that, because I know that just by sharing that, it takes some of that energy away. And also, when you guys comment, it really helps me. So thank you for letting me kind of vent and share with you guys what's been going on.
Thank you.
Can I give you a hug?
Sharing. That sounds – yeah, I really want
too.
To give her a
group hug.
Group hug.
Absolutely.
Oh,
she
we're
needs
doing it, Homera.
Hug.
We're holding you.
Homera,
holding you.
Corinne, I just want to say something. This is Carol.
Please, Carol.
I am not on the same lessons everyone else is on, because I started my lessons when I started my lessons. And today, my lesson 94 is, I am as God created me. I am his son eternally. Mm-hmm. And it says in this lesson, it says, and be sure to respond to anyone who seems to irritate you with these words. You are as God created you. You are his son eternally. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of comfort in that.
Beautiful. What lesson was that, 94?
94.
Thank you.
So were you successful to applying it to Trump and to...
I am successful in being in the moment and applying it to whoever I need to apply it to.
Wow.
There you go.
I
want to stick with Homera, Homera's comment. And Carol, thank you for adding that. And if anybody else wants to share some thoughts with Homera, you're welcome to, but I'll share just initially what has come up for me. And this is where I think it's important that we I'm going to say this now. I was going to share this at the beginning, but then it just didn't feel right. I'm hoping that in groups, and especially in a group where we're all on the phone and we can't see each other, and our calls some have been really big, in order to give everybody a chance, if we've shared, if we could just also hold the space for others, just to make sure that everybody has a chance to share. And I'm going to ask, because Homera is specifically bringing something up, can we all agree to refrain from advice giving or telling somebody how they should see something? Instead, approaching it as speaking from our own experience and offering ideas. I think it's important. I really just want to maintain a very safe environment on this call. And so if we can all just respect that with not advice giving, that tends to be just like a rule for groups in general. And I think it's just important for us to keep that in mind here. But since Homaira is asking a question, we can certainly respond, but with the air of just saying a suggestion versus, you know, here's what you should do. So thank you. Does that sound good for everybody?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, great. Before I share my thoughts, Homaira, did you try to say something? Because I did hear a noise on the line, and I'm not sure what it was.
No, I just want to listen right now.
Okay. Thank you. So what I just wanted to share, Homaira, listening to what you were talking about sounds really, really intense. And I will just share a personal example. I'll keep it brief just to try to extract the point out from it. But I've been going through a very, very intense experience, teaching learning situation with a family member who often perceives that they are a victim of my words. If I say something that I think is completely neutral and kind and gentle, somehow this person still takes it as me attacking them. So the difficulty, I related to a sense of difficulty and feeling like there's just kind of no way out, you know, like the situation is just completely, completely out of control, feeling in that person feeling like they're a victim of me, they're lashing out, and then I then feel a victim of them. They become the victimizer. It's this ping pong, and it's so uncomfortable to feel any sense of victim or victimizer. What comes to mind immediately is the course's teaching about rising above the battleground. There is no resolution here. There's no, working it out truly on this level like you are doing with turning to the Holy Spirit. That is the way out. That's, you know, how we can find our way out of this. So I really want to reinforce your willingness to turn to the Holy Spirit, to be asking for help, for doing those things that you said that you're doing. That's everything. There's something that the Course teaches called charity. And that's when we have the willingness to see our brother beyond where they appear to be in form. So we see the craziness, we see the madness, and yet we're willing, like the Holy Spirit, to see beyond it. And that's, I think, the biggest thing that has been helpful for me in my situation is recognizing that any perception that I hold of that other person is false, and any perception that they hold of me is false. And it was kind of funny because both this individual that I'm referring to and myself both said, like, I said that, but, like, whatever perception I'm holding is false, whatever perception you're holding of me is false. And this person said, oh, thank you. So, yes, you're wrong. So immediately, like, there then is another opportunity for me to engage in the conflict. So what I'm getting at is all of our perceptions are not going to lead us out of this, that we need the Holy Spirit to help, and you're calling upon the Holy Spirit. If that piece was helpful about being willing to just see the truth despite the madness, not only in your brother but in all the other, you know, players involved, it's only the Holy Spirit in us that can speak to the Holy Spirit in another, and it's only the ego in us that can speak to the ego in another, and just have the Holy Spirit in us speak to the Holy Spirit in the other is that willingness, is that moment of turning and saying, you know, I'm not going to keep, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to keep doing this victim-victimizer dance. And the fact that you articulated that and that you said that, like, you know, you don't like it, you're done with it, that's beautiful. that you can see that, because you can take that desire to drop both of those roles to the Holy Spirit also. Was any of that helpful?
So helpful, Corinne. What you were saying initially about this family member of yours, of like going back and forth, and no matter what you say, there's always fault with it, you know, that's exactly where he's at. I mean, I can say the most loving thing in a moment, and it just can be turned around, you know. It doesn't, you know, for example, a couple of years ago, he was sort of in the same state, but he was a little bit willing, so I got him a therapist, I got him a psychiatrist, I sent him to rehab. I mean, I really honestly, like, not having much myself, like borrowing to do this, and then he turns around and says, you know, that my husband and I are trying to basically, like, take over his life and saying all these things. So no matter how much I say, you know, I love you and I want the best for you, somehow it turns around to something else. So you said exactly what I go through in those kind of discussions. And, yes, so I feel like sometimes a victim, sometimes a victimizer. And I am so sick and tired of that role. And I know that the solution isn't in this world, because I've tried to find it in this world. But until he really wants to change, and maybe he doesn't in this lifetime, I can't do anything about it. So I don't have any control. What I have control over is my own experience with God, and like you said, seeing the Christ in him. Just keep. It's hard at times, to be honest. You know, it's hard to see him in that way when he is so seemingly, like, just aggressively attacking everything and everyone, no matter who they are and what you do for him. But I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I'm hopeful too, because I mean, I'm so hopeful, because this is where the rubber hits the road. And what happened with me when I was then perceiving that, you know, that I was being a victim of this person exploding, like, I mean, I was shocked. It was like off the deep end. I had this welling up in me. I didn't express this. This has happened in my mind of like, I'm not playing this old record anymore. Like, I'm not, I want to do it differently. And the only words that I found that can't be misconstrued, although I'm sure they still can be, have just been, I love you. Have just been, like, that's been it. It seems like that just diffuses the situation, you know, when it happened. So I am joined with you in wanting another way, and recognizing that both victim and victimizer are roles that, you know, that we do not want. Do not want. And, you know, another sort of step back is that we can also look at whatever conflict is coming up, whatever situation it may be that we're in. It's so compelling because it's exactly the bait that the ego's holding up to keep you convinced that you're Homira. It's exactly the bait for me to keep me playing the game of Corinne. And we have that choice to not take that bait. As tempting, and let me tell you though, like before when I said that, you know, I had said something and what I thought was like, you know, peace, they then, you know, took what I said and made it into my fault again, that I was, you know, admitting that that I was the only one at fault here. The I had that surge again of like, like, you know, wanting to just be like, oh my God, like, you know, that ego is strong. Yeah. Like it comes up, and that's the temptation. That is all temptation, is to listen and to go down that ego path. So also looking at it as these characters are all playing their roles. They're agreeing to the ego script, which has one goal. And that is to keep us believing that we are these separate selves. The one goal is to keep us believing in the separation and not looking beyond it. And we are clearly saying, just that even by being here, that we're not going to play that game anymore. We're looking for another. We're willing to have that other way.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Corinne. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Does anybody want to add anything? I think I had I just heard Paula and then I heard Susan. How about we go Paula first and Susan?
Before I got on this call tonight, I asked the Holy Spirit for help. What Hermira was just talking about and what you were talking about, Corinne, on some level I'm experiencing also. And and before I got on the call, I really am, I just pray for some help with this. I got to tell you, I feel so much better. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Because
it's
this wanting to control these situations. It's...
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I hear you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Susan, what were we going to add?
I was just going to say that, Hermira, you made a little wisecrack about how you guys are all ahead of me and I'm only down here mucking around with this. I'm telling you, we're all mucking down with you. we're all in
yes.
those situations all the time. Do not idealize all of the rest of us. You are going through such a really challenging thing. And if these things were happening to me right now, I don't know if I'd even have dialed up this number. I would have gotten on the floor and screamed and had a fit or something. Anyway, I just don't think that. Just be heartened
Thank
that we're
you,
all
Susan.
Here with you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. We are. We are. Yeah. Nobody, trust me, nobody's ahead of anybody.
Right.
Not at all. Oh, anyone else have anything to add before we continue?
Yeah, Corinne, just with what Hermira shared earlier, it just brought to mind your wonderful podcast that you did with John Mark Stead a while ago. And in that podcast, he talks at length about guidance and following guidance and how guidance works differently for all of us based on whatever picture we're creating in the dream, right? So it's never going to look the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there are situations that come up that, you know, on the level of form, seems like we have to make a very difficult choice, but we can still be following the Holy Spirit's guidance in doing that. And Jean-Marc goes on and talks about, you know, just because something worked for me doesn't mean that I would ever impose that on someone else. And I've certainly experienced that in my past where you know, in taking everything to spirit, just being willing to be that open-hearted and realize that guidance is going to look different for everybody. And so I just wanted to share that in honor of Hermira right now. And then I have this quote in front of me that really helped me with something the other day. So I'd like to share the quote. And it's a quote from the Teachers of God Foundation, and it's by Linda Leland, and she says, "You have no direct control over the behavior of another. You only have control over your own level of peace."
Hallelujah.
Can you repeat that one more time, DJ?
Yeah.
You have no direct control over the behavior of another. You only have control over your own level of peace.
That is just what I needed to
Beautiful.
Hear tonight.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Deidre.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Deidre.
I love that, Deidre. Yeah, thank you. That was really helpful. So helpful. How about we read some more? Okay. the Holy Spirit can give you faith in holiness and vision to see it easily enough. But you have not left open and unoccupied the altar where the gifts belong. Where they should be, you have set up your idols to something else. This other will, which seems to tell you what must happen, you gave reality. And what would show you otherwise must therefore seem unreal. All that is asked of you is to make room for truth. You are not asked to make or do what lies beyond your understanding. All you are asked to do is let it in, only to stop your interference with what will happen of itself, simply to recognize again the presence of what you thought you gave away. Two things come up for me in this paragraph. One is just that it's beautiful in its statement that we really need do nothing to let truth be, to let it in, to just let it flow. And then the other thing that comes to mind is that when we're in the thick of it, like when the shit is hitting the fan, like we're talking about with these different, you know, different situations that we're all in, it takes great willingness to hold steady. It takes great willingness, like Deidre just said, to be willing to control, you know, to let go of control of others and control only your own level of peace. That takes great willingness in the face of the screaming, shrieking ego. But we can do it. We can do it. And I just, what just came up also is just how I love Paula before when you were just saying that, you know, you're in some kind of similar, or were in some kind of similar situation, just have a, how parallel, you know, all of our circumstances, the details are different, and yet the underlying lessons can be very, very, very similar.
Oh, yeah.
So that just makes me chuckle. And I hope it also makes us feel not alone. We're all in it together, finding our way through.
And that's why it's so wonderful to have this. There was no way I was not going to pick up this phone tonight, because this kind of support, wonderful.
Yep. Yeah, it is. I agree. I agree. I'm just seeing if there's anything else I want to say about this paragraph. I guess I'll just highlight one sentence. All that is asked of you is to make room for truth. How simple, and yet how difficult. Anything coming up for anybody? We can keep reading them. Be willing for an instant to leave your altars free of what you placed upon them, and what is really there you cannot fail to see. The holy instant is not an instant of creation, but of recognition. For recognition comes of vision and suspended judgment. Then only it is possible to look within and see what must be there, plainly in sight and wholly independent of inference and judgment. Wholly independent of inference and judgment. Undoing is not your task, but it is up to you to welcome it or not. Faith and desire go hand in hand, for everyone believes in what he wants. So, in one instant, all we have to do is be willing to leave our altars free of what we placed upon them. Just an instant, which I think we've all done. And that guarantees our success. That guarantees the outcome. And that's where if we can just remember that this is all done already, we are home already. If we can just remember that for a moment, that's big.
I love that passage you just read, Corinne, that said undoing is not your task, but you are responsible for welcoming it or something.
Yeah, but it's up to you to welcome it or not.
Welcome it or not. So that to me is speaking of very similar to the quote I just read, is that you're not responsible to undo the picture, but you are responsible to welcome peace or not.
Mm-hmm. love that.
It can be really challenging when you're in the middle of what seems so real. The only thing that, if I can just remember in those situations, to just be the observer of it. But I don't know. Emotions, you know, get in the way. And at any rate, this material is certainly putting it all into perspective. There's no getting around that.
You know, Paula, I want to respond to what you just said about emotions getting in the way, only because I totally relate to that, but it totally hits the situation, this really intense situation that I've been in. Being the observer versus emotions getting in the way. Being the observer is great when we can be there, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah, really.
Just like you said, we've got these things called emotions. And on one hand, you know, the courses say how you feel, like, you know, go by how you feel. That's the one right use of judgment. So we can look to our emotions in terms of, you know, peace versus lack of peace. At the same time, our emotions are of the ego. You know, if you think about it, in truth, there is only peace. There is only joy. So emotions, whatever they're coming up and however intense they are, have got to be of the ego. And now that doesn't follow that we repress them or that we don't feel them or that the Course is saying don't feel them, but it's just, again, that willingness to sort of own it, feel it, see it, and to know that we can go deeper. And that's with the family member that I was referencing. My emotions were intense, and yet if I let them take the lead, that's the ego fertile playing ground. You know, that's giving the ticket to the ego to just do what it wants. It instead was this, like, I feel it, I feel the intensity of it, and there is got to be a better way. It's like that digging your heels in, that stubborn, it was almost like not a stubbornness, I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, just like a firm determination to find another way rather than getting lost and hooked and just, you know, completely sucked into where the emotions would have brought me in terms of attack.
You know, it's
victim and victimizer.
They're actually necessary in a sense because it's a process. And, you know, if I'm just willing to go through the process, and just like you said, not pour pink paint over it or try to hide from it, but just go through the process of it, that's where it seems like the willingness comes up in me to say, I've had enough of this. Wait a minute. God's will for me is happiness. I must not be doing his will. I'm doing this to me. And,
right.
And you know, it seems like I got to learn it over and over, but I am truly more willing these days to get the Holy Spirit in there, you know, and help me out. Help.
Agreed.
You know, this whole nonsense.
Yeah. Yep.
I have a
yep.
really quick...
Oh, please, DJ. I was just going to say our trust is strengthening. That's all I was going to say. Jump in, DJ.
Okay, sorry. I was just going to say I have a really quick example of emotions, because as everybody on the call knows, I do angel work, so I'm very familiar with, you know, conversing with spirit and working with the sort of energy of those that have transitioned and left the body and all of that kind of thing. And my dog, Emily, transitioned back in June, and I've been doing really well. Like, I've had a few moments here and there where, you know, emotions have come up because I'm having the sensation of missing, like, the physical contact, even though I know she's with me every day in the spiritual sense. Like, I literally get messages from her almost every day. But it was just Thanksgiving here last week, and so I was having a family dinner, and we were all over at my grandmother's house, and we're big animals people in my family. And so everybody had brought their dogs. And I kind of just had this moment for a moment when my cousin brought her dog into the living room, a little new puppy, because she did something exactly how Emily would do it. And it just brought up this well of tears for about 2 minutes. It wasn't very long, but it was long enough for me to realize that I was experiencing some emotions. And I kid you not when I say, if this had happened to me, you know, a year ago, and we're talking time on the level of form, and that's just giving strength to this example, I would have beat myself up for having that moment. I would have made myself feel bad for, you know, knowing that this isn't real and blah, 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 whatever else. But I was just like, oh, okay. These emotions are coming up right now. I'm just going to let them come up. I'm just going to let them be what they are. I'm not guilty. I'm innocent. And this is what I'm feeling right now. Okay, Holy Spirit, here you go. Here it is. This is what I'm feeling. And it was able to completely leave, and we enjoyed the rest of the night. But if I had stayed in that space where I was feeling awful that it had happened, I would have just amplified it more. And I would have stayed in that space of keeping in the ego's, or the idea of the ego's, loop of continuing to make it real for myself. But because I took it to spirit and was able to find the gentleness and allow myself to be where I was at, that helped it to not stay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, DG, what a beautiful example. That's it. Holy Spirit is everything. And I love how you said finding the gentleness in it.
Yeah, because I wasn't guilty for feeling what I was feeling. I just had you know how the Course talks about us looking at a memory, because we're basically, everything that we think we're seeing with our eyes is a memory, and I just got caught up in a memory for a minute. So I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not, there's no reason to punish myself.
Right. Beautiful. Thank you for that. Beautiful example. Let's read the next paragraph. Where did I leave off?
Be willing. Oh, no. We have already.
Did I read the sentence? Is that where I start? We have already said?
Yeah. That's where,
okay,
that's
I read,
where you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you left off.
Perfect.
At the previous paragraph.
Got it. I read the previous one.
Yeah.
I have a little mark in my book that made me confused for a moment. All right. We have already said that wishful thinking is how the ego deals with what it wants to make it so. There is no better demonstration of the power of wanting, and therefore of faith, to make its goals seem real and possible. Faith in the unreal leads to adjustments of reality to make it fit the goal of madness. The goal of sin induces the perception of a fearful world to justify its purpose. What you desire, you will see. And if its reality is false, you will uphold it by not realizing all the adjustments you have introduced to make it so. So wishful thinking is how the ego deals with what it wants. That makes me think of the whole trend about manifesting and manifesting stuff and money and wealth and all that. That's wishful thinking. Faith in the unreal leads to adjustments of reality to make it fit the goal of madness. So, we can't really adjust reality, but we can adjust our perception away from reality to make it fit a goal of madness so we can get, you know, the separate special state that we wanted. It says, it goes on to say, the goal of sin induces the perception of a fearful world to justify its purpose. So again, sin just being a mistake, the idea of sin just being, you know, separation, it induces a perception of a fearful world to justify its purpose. So that, in a sense, is a sentence I feel like that sums up what I said before when we were talking, when I was sharing with Homira. The goal, let's read it this way, the goal of separation induces, hi Kitty, induces the perception.
I'm sorry, let me mute it.
No, it's okay, I love her. The goal of separation induces the perception of a fearful world to justify its purpose. So in all those characters and players out there that do whatever seemingly to us, whatever crazy making, you know, it might be, it's justifying the fact that it must be real. Like, let me say this again. What I said before is just that the craziness out there seems to justify that, yes, I am this separate self. I need to be afraid. I need to protect myself. But we don't see that our goal initially was separation, which called all that about in the first place. So it's that closed circular loop to keep us believing that we are these separate selves. And I love that sentence, what you desire, you will see. If you want to see God, if we want to see God, we got to just be willing to drop everything that stands in between of that, and our knowledge, our awareness will be restored gently as we're ready. So pause. I'm pausing here. Questions, comments, insights? And I just looked up at the time. We just have a couple minutes. So anything to add?
Wait a minute. That what you desire, you will see. Well, boy, that sure seems to be the truth. And if its reality is false, you will uphold it by not realizing all the adjustments you have introduced to make it so. Oh, and that's a little confusing.
So what you desire, you will see. If its reality is false, meaning if it's the world, if it's of the ego,
right,
we'll keep that belief in place by not realizing that we had to sort of blot out our awareness of heaven to make what is false seem true.
Seem
to make
true.
The world
absolutely.
Seem, yeah. To make
okay.
The world seem real, we're not going to recognize that we had to actively, you know, put up blocks to truth to make this world seem real. So that's, again, going back to this, there are no victims, you know, there's nothing out there doing anything to us. It's our choice for the ego that calls forth pain in any form. That's collective, it's individual, it's all those things. The Course says, you know, some of our illusions are personal, some of them are shared. But it's all false.
This was wonderful tonight, Corinne.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Thank you. If anybody has anything that you still need to chat about, feel free to shoot me an email. But I look forward to being together again next week. So thank you, everyone. Love
thank
you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you all.
Love everyone.
Good night.